Praise the Lord. In Luke chapter 5, I'd like to preach from there tonight if the Lord would help me. And while you're turning there, I appreciate the offering and appreciate the church here allowing Kayla and Tyler to minister here. And I guess they're being a help. Amen. Praise the Lord. We trust they are, and the Lord's helping them. And we're just glad they're here. Working with Brother and Sister Jarvis and your church here, and appreciate your kindness to them. Amen. Praise the Lord. In Luke chapter 5 and verse 27, it reads like this, "And after these things he went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom, and he said unto him, Follow me. And he left all, rose up, and followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his own house, and there was a great company of publicans and of others that sat down with them. But their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, Why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners? And Jesus answering and said unto them, They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. And I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Amen. Father, we worship you tonight. Thank you for your mercy and your great grace. Lord, I thank you for this congregation of people. I pray, Lord, that you'd anoint me for a little while to preach your word. Speak to our hearts in these altars. Help us to draw closer to you, and we'll give you the glory. And we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Eric, when he was younger, when he was a little boy, he was a little bit accident prone. Now, he's doing a lot better. But one day, he was walking out of a place, and I already told him I was going to tell his story, so I okayed it. But he was walking out of a place, and he tripped on his shoestring, and I mean, he just face planted right on the concrete. And his nose started bleeding. And it was bleeding profusely and not even trying to stop. And I was there, big crowd of people and people gathering around. People are amazing at how they can ascertain a problem. You know, man, his nose is bleeding. Really? That's awesome. I'm glad you noticed that. That big pool of blood there. Yeah, it's, but there was one guy that he just started coming through the crowd, and I remember him saying, he said, "Excuse me." He said, "I'm a doctor. Excuse me." And he put a pressure point on him. He pressed on him right at the right place, and he stopped that bleeding almost immediately because he was a doctor and he knew what he was doing. And I'd like to preach tonight for just a little while on the subject of, is there a doctor in the house? I mean, have you ever had an emergency? You've seen an emergency? I mean, I've been around where people had, heart attacks, right? In a big meeting of people, and immediately somebody would say, "Is there a doctor in the house? Is there a doctor in the house?" Of course, you know, I'm not talking about physicians of the physical body, even though they are important, but I'm talking about physicians of the soul. We're fellow laborers tonight in the greatest work that's going on in the world today. I like what Talman said. He said, "I'm an herb doctor. I put into the cauldron the root out of the dry ground without form or loveliness. Then I put in the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley. And I put into that cauldron some of the leaves from the tree of life and the branch that was thrown into the bitter waters of Marah. I pour in the tears of Bethany and Golgotha. I stir them up. And then I kindle under that cauldron a fire made out of the wood of the old rugged cross and fanned by the wind of the Holy Ghost. And one drop of that potion will cure the worst sickness that ever afflicted a human soul." Amen. Praise the Lord. I tell you, I can't talk like those men can, but I like reading it. And I can tell you that we're physicians of the soul tonight. Amen. There were several events leading up to this statement of Jesus about those that You know, when he said the whole need not a physician, but they that are sick, the Pharisees were there to comment and criticize. And there are a lot of people that are there on everything to comment and criticize. And I like what one brother said. He said it's a lot easier to run something down than it is to run it. Amen. That's true, you know. And a lot of people sit back and say, well, if I was doing it, I'd do it this way. Amen. Well, you know, the thing about it is you're not doing it, and you don't have your finger on the pulse, amen, like other people do that are doing it. I mean, when it's God's calling and the man of God is there and God's using him, he's got his finger on the pulse, amen. He's trying to be a physician. You know, a lot of people, they're ready to pull a sword just like Peter was, you know, and they're ready to cut ears off. And I was kind of like that too, you know. I remember when I first went to OBI, this gentleman, he was being critical about several things, and I won't go into it, but, I basically pulled a sword on him, cut his ear off. And, Brother Taylor told me, he said, Brother Shelton, he said, if you cut too many ears off, there ain't going to be enough people around to put them back on. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so we're physicians. We're not here to just sit back like the Pharisees were and be critical of everything that's going on. I mean, the Pharisees were the doctors of the law, and they were present, but so was the great physician. Amen. I'm not talking about the doctors of the law who have no power to heal, no desire to see the captive set free, but I'm talking about a real doctor. Amen. One that doesn't mind getting out in the middle of the diseased and hurting world and bringing hope and healing to hungry souls. Amen. The souls of men and women and boys and girls. Amen. I know there's doctors out there, even in the medical profession. They're cold. They're callous. They're just in it for the cash. And I know that maybe some preachers could be that way. But most people... Amen. Are there because they care about the souls of men. Amen. Oh, I want to tell you, we have to have compassion in our hearts. I know some doctors, people are just, they're just a number. They're just a social security number. They're just a way to meet their end. Amen. But if we're going to be a doctor of the soul, if we're going to be a good doctor, working under the great physician, the first thing we have to do is see the need. Jesus said, lift up your eyes, for the harvest is already white. Amen. I know that some people think, well, the best days of the church are behind us. It might be that the greatest days are before us. It could be that if we could get a vision and we could get a hold of this thing and start being physicians of the soul, that God could give us a harvest that he said is already white. We have to see people as souls that have bodies instead of bodies that have souls. We have to realize that everyone is going to spend eternity somewhere, either in heaven or hell. Amen. We have to realize that a person can go to heaven with a sick body, but they can't go to heaven unless they have the precious blood applied to their soul. Every human being has a disease called sin. It's hereditary. The Bible says, by nature, we're the children of wrath. It's universal. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It's fatal. The soul that's in it, it shall die, and it's incurable by man. There's no human remedy. The curse is universal. Amen. But I thank God that the cure is universal as well. The remedy is as wide as the ruin. He said in 1 John 2:1, my little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Amen. I'm glad that the remedy is there. Amen. But the remedy has to be applied. That's where you and I come in. Amen. Is applying the remedy. We're taken as ministers, and a lot of times we feel like maybe that's the pastor's job, maybe it's the pastor's wife's job, or that to minister to souls. But everybody's called to be a physician of the soul. If you have the remedy, it doesn't matter if a child hands it to you, or if an elder hands it to you, or a middle-aged person. The remedy, amen, is within our reach and in our grasp. Amen. And we need to be giving it to people that have this disease called sin. We carry the remedy to those that do not realize they're sick. And we carry the remedy to those that know they're sick but cannot find a cure. Amen. If you're going to be a good doctor, there's going to have to be some things that you are going to have to do and be. Amen. One thing that we're going to have to do is we're going to have to take our calling serious enough and be willing to fortify ourselves against the diseases of the soul. Amen. One thing that you'll see, that doctors and physicians and nurses and all, they're always washing their hands. They're always cleaning their instruments. They're always making sure that things are sterile and that they're clean. And the reason why is because they don't want to pass disease on to the person that they're working on. Amen. We cannot, be full of sin and contaminated with a disease that we're trying to see them healed from. If we're infected ourselves, then we'll pass it on to the patients. That's why holy living is important. Because many times when we're trying to give people the remedy, they're wondering if we got it ourselves. When insurance agents, when they come, they're always forceful. The first question I ask them, I said, do you have this? Because if they don't have it, why are they trying to sell it to me? If they don't need it, then why do I need it? Amen. It's preaching's kind of like cooking. If you won't eat your own cooking, how you expect everybody else to eat it too? And that's the reason why holy living's important, because when we reach out to people, they're going to know if it's real. They're going to know if we got it. Amen. Oh, I want to tell you something. That's why that we have to sanctify ourselves around the altar of prayer, because, we don't want to infect the people that we're trying to operate on us. We have to continually We had to continually put ourselves in the presence of God for the purification of the instruments. Amen. We have to fortify ourselves against the diseases of the soul. We have to make the proper diagnosis. Amen. Now, we have to really ask ourselves, what does the people need? What do they need? What is the problem that they have? And many times, I know that this is kind of humorous, but you go in the doctor's office and you pay them a lot of money, and the first question they ask, what's been happening? I got really, and they just keep asking you question after question after question. And, at first I was thinking, you're the doctor. I came here for you to tell me what's wrong with me, not for me to tell you what's wrong with me. But, the thing about it is a doctor, he can't read your mind. He's just looking at the outside. He don't know what kind of problems you're having. He don't know if you've had fever. He don't know. He don't know what the situation is. So he asked a series of questions. What he's trying to do is he's trying to make a diagnosis. He's trying to think about things. It's easy to just look at somebody. I know what's wrong with them. And the thing about it is that things that are outwardly don't line up with the Word of God, there's a reason behind most of those things. And, if we spend all of our time just to try to patch up the outside so people think we're awesome in the fellowship, then we're going to have big problems, because the healing comes from the inside out. There is no, there's no healing. Before, the lepers were cleansed, and I know that it worked its way all the way to the outside, because that's how they knew they was cleansed. But the thing about it is this, is that the work has to start on the inside. And many times we have to make a proper diagnosis, but sometimes, you know, if we're not careful, we just kind of jump the gun, you know. And we have to be careful about that. When I stop and slow down and catch my breath, and I'm thinking about three or four stories, whether or not I need to tell them or not. Sometimes it's better for me to let them pass on by. But I've had some great experiences in the ministry about people diagnosing people real quick, you know. And you got to be careful about that diagnosis. Amen. Because the thing about it is to make a proper diagnosis, it takes fasting, it takes prayer, it takes the mind of God. And I'm not sure that people are willing to pay the price to see the proper diagnosis. Amen. When you pray and you seek God's face, amen. There's been times, brother, that boy you was talking about, 29 years old, passed away, brother. The only thing I can think about is how many times that he was sitting in my office in front of my desk. And me wondering today if I could have said something that would have helped him and would have kept that from happening. So many times, amen, we make the wrong judgment call. It takes prayer. It takes seeking God. I mean, if you're going to be a good doctor, it takes a lot of ingredients to be a doctor. Is there a doctor in the house? Do we love people enough and have a burden enough for people to see them made whole? Not just band-aids, but brother made whole. Amen. We have to be able to diagnose the problem if we're really going to help people. Amen. We need the wisdom of the Holy Ghost to tell us what remedy to apply. It takes prayer. It takes time, it takes effort, it takes patience, it takes meditation, and we cannot afford to not be willing to pay the price to make us the physicians that we need to be in the communities that we live in. Amen. Is there a doctor in the house? I tell you, every community needs a good doctor, and I'm talking about a doctor of the soul. Amen. Oh, we have to make the proper diagnosis. We have to fortify ourselves against the disease that we're trying to cure. And we need to know our instruments and our medicines. Amen. I'm thankful for the Word of God. Out of the billions of books that have been written, there's only one that's inspired by the Holy Ghost. Amen. It's not the erring opinions of men, but it's the unchanging mind of God. We need to read the Word of God. We need to know the Word of God. We need to speak and preach the Word of God. It's the remedy for every sin-sick soul. It tells us about people who had diseases just like we did. They had cares. They had crosses. They had temptations and afflictions and diseases. Yet through faith and patience, they inherited the promises, and God home safe. Amen. The remedy. You have to know your instruments and your medicines. You have to know how to use them too. I mean, the thing about it is that the remedy has to be applied right. Amen. People, I'll tell you what, brother, I'll just preach. I'll just cut the wood and let it fly where it goes. I don't care where the chips go. Amen. Praise the Lord. Usually they fly on somebody's shoulder. Amen. If you're not careful there. But the thing about it was, well, I'll tell you what, brother, the Word of God's quick and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. It's just two-edged sword. It just cuts both ways. It didn't say that it was a two-edged sword. It said it was sharper than any two-edged sword. And so the thing about it is, if you don't use it right, you can shed a lot of blood and you can shed it fast. Amen. I mean, you know, you can have the best baby food that there is, and it can be the most nutritious or whatever it is, but if you put it on the end of a spoon and say, take that like that. It really doesn't matter how good the food is if you don't apply it in the right manner. Amen. One brother said, I like honey, but I don't like it served on the end of an axe. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, you know, a lot of times, it is the truth, friend. You know, it's not a lot of times that people reject the message. It's the way it's being applied. It's almost like, hey, this is what's wrong with you, and I'm glad you're there. Amen. Brother, we ought to be people that saying, hey, I know where you're at. I know what can help you. I got the remedy here, friend. Oh, I tell you, it'd be wonderful if we could be physicians of the soul. Amen. You've got to apply that remedy correctly. Amen. It's just as important how you apply it as what you give to them. Amen. I know that, you know, people say, well, brother, you know, the church is a hospital. That's right. The church is a hospital. But every hospital that I've been in has a recovery room. And I want to see people getting well. You know, I wouldn't want to go into a hospital and say, y'all have a recovery room around here? No, they never make it that far. I mean, you know, we every church is a hospital. We want to be a hospital. But we want people that are getting well, people that are recovering, people that are getting help. Amen. And is it a lot of work? Yeah, it's a lot of work. I know y'all know it is. And I know Missions Conference is coming up, and I feel like that's one of the reasons why the Lord laid this on my heart to preach this to you tonight, is that, amen, your greatest days could be in front of you, but we have to be physicians of the soul. Amen. There's so many people out there. There's plenty of patients, friend. Amen. They're everywhere. Oh, God, help us tonight. Amen. To apply it right. To learn the instruments. To know what to say and when to say it. Amen. That's the way it was with the Lord. Amen. Oh, we have to realize that, you know, sometimes I think about doctors, and I don't know what it would be like to actually take a scalpel and to cut on another human being. I can only imagine what some of those younger doctors do when they first start, especially surgeons, the first time they ever feel themselves cut into a human body. But after a while, those old surgeons, they never hesitate. They'll walk right in. They know exactly what they're going to do. I mean, you know, I was reading about them conjoined twins, and they were going to separate them. And they said if he stuck that scaffold a millimeter too deep, they would die immediately. But that's some careful stuff there. You got to be careful when you're operating, amen. But, you know, those old surgeons, the reason they don't hesitate is because they have people come up to them on the street and say, Doc, come on, thank you. Yeah, that's been holding good. Yeah, been over 20 years now. Amen, I'm doing a lot better. Amen. Those old surgeons know that if they do it and they do it right, do it in the right manner, that it's going to make somebody whole. They're going to walk out of there feeling better than they did before they got there. Amen. Oh, I want to tell you, we have to realize, amen, that we're doctors of the soul. Amen. In the ceremonial law, the priest, they had the ability to diagnose the problem. I mean, you know, they're just like that Levite that walked by on the other side. I mean, he probably looked over there at that, man that was there, stripped and slain, robbed of everything. And he looked over and said, man, that old boy there is in bad shape. I mean, it's easy to ascertain the problem, amen, but the thing that we're going to have to do is realize, amen, that we're not just like those priests that had no power. They only had the ability to diagnose the problem, amen, but they could not administer a remedy. And so what did they do? They just cut them off and isolated them. I mean, if they were sick, they just isolated them. Amen. But we don't have to do that, because we have the remedy. I mean, that's why Jesus touched those leprous men. Probably many people around, maybe some of the Pharisees said, well, what needs to be done with them is they need to be just taken and isolated and put in another place. Jesus said, bring them to me. I got the remedy. Amen. Oh, I want to tell you, Amen. These men, these Pharisees and Sadducees, they were just sanitary police. No cure for the disease. Amen. Is there a doctor in the house that has a desire not only to isolate the sick, but to give them the great physician? Amen. Is there a doctor in the city, amen, where you live? Your community desperately needs you because you're the one that has the remedy for the soul. You cannot be contaminated with a disease that you're trying to cure. You have to know how to make the proper diagnosis. You have to familiarize yourself with the instruments that God has given you to use. And you must be accessible. Amen. You know, the Good Samaritan, the Bible says he went to where he was. Amen. Well, why did the Good Samaritan have to go to where the man was? Because the man couldn't come to him. A lot of people sitting there, well, you know, I sure hope they come to church tonight. I do too. I wish the church house was full. But friend, they're not coming by the thousands. That means that we're going to have to go to them. And when they start getting well, they'll come to the house of God. Amen. Instead of sometimes, you know, and we're all bent that way. You know, we want people to come to church, so we'll invite them to church. But probably the best thing to do is just try to give them the great physician. He's the remedy. Amen. I've tried church. Have you tried Jesus? Amen. Well, you know, there's a lot of hypocrites. Jesus had never done anybody anything but good. Amen. I like what D.L. Moody said. A guy came to him and said, I saw one of your converts the other day outside smoking a cigarette. He said, it probably was one of my converts, because if he had been the Lord's convert, he wouldn't have been smoking a cigarette. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, they're not our converts. They're the Lord's. They're the ones that the Lord helps. We must be accessible. Amen. We have to roll up our sleeves and wade into the human problem of sin with the only cure that's known to man and give him Jesus, the great physician. He's the remedy. If we spend the bulk of our time getting people in love with a great physician, they'll get the complete healing that they need. Amen. Most doctors, they specialize in one field or the other. Amen. They're specialists for just about any disease that you can think of. I mean, there's ear specialists, dental, heart, respiratory, etc. Amen. But Jesus is the great physician. He healed Peter's mother-in-law of the fever. He told the man with a withered hand to stretch forth thine hand. He healed the deaf and the dumb. He cleansed the lepers. He healed a woman with a spirit of infirmity, and he healed a woman with an issue of blood. He fed the 5,000 with a few fishes and loaves and sent Peter fishing for tax money. Amen. He saved a woman at the well, and a woman caught in adultery. He stepped out on the shores of Gadara. Amen. There was a man there that no man could tame, and he cast every devil out of him with one word. He raised Jairus' daughter, the widow of Nain's son, and Lazarus from the dead. I said he's a great physician, and there's not a case that he cannot solve. Amen. That's why that as his doctors, amen, we have to get acquainted with him. We have to get acquainted with his remedy for souls. Amen. Jesus himself, he became the medicine. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to me. He said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, just as that brazen serpent was the antidote for the snake bites, so Jesus Christ is the antidote for sin. Isaiah said he was wounded for our transgressions. Amen. His precious blood that flowed from the wounded side, amen, is the antidote for every disease of the soul. Amen. Praise the Lord. He is the answer to every situation. We have to fall in love with him. There's been times in ministry, you know, people lay out on Super Bowl, won't come play their instruments, do whatever they need to do, you know, because that's more important to them. And nothing's any more important to me than the house of God. And I want my children to know that too. And, you know, but I had me one of those messages, brother. I mean, it was one of those ones that was point direct. I had one person in mind. And I remember I got to praying. It's always good to pray before you preach. And the Lord said, You've already torpedoed him about a dozen times, and he's still doing the same thing. Said the reason he's doing what he's doing is because he's not praying. If you can get him praying, he'll quit doing those things. So I preached on prayer that night, brother. And I talked with him personally. And ever since that day, he's never done that again. And you know, the thing about it is there's always ways to do things. You know, we want to just muscle things in there. You know, tell you what, just let me preach one message there, everything will be solved. Really? Well, I'd like to have that message. That would be a nice one to preach. Amen. I watched some guys. There was this large bull out there, and I know he went over 2,000 pounds, but I mean, he was just tearing up everything, and they was going to catch him, take him to the sale barn. So they got this horse out there, and they roped him, and they had a hold of him. But he started. There was a pond out in the middle there, or a pool out in the middle of that field, and that old bull, he just started dragging that horse. I mean, the rope was on the horn and everything. They had him there, but he just started dragging that horse, and he was going to drag him into that pond, and he had that horse almost drugging that pond, and the old boy that was riding him, he seen what was going to happen. He pulled out his knife and cut the rope. If he hadn't cut the rope, he'd have jerked him in there. He had every intention of drowning him. I mean, they was going to rope that bull. They had the trailer there. They was going to force him up in there. But it didn't work. There was another guy there. He said, y'all go eat some lunch. He said, and come back. Well, when they went to eat lunch, he got a bag of feed, poured it up in that trailer that was backed up to the chute, left, come back, bull in the trailer, eating food. He shut the door. What I'm trying to say is this. There's more than one way to accomplish a task. Many times we're wanting to accomplish it with brute force. Amen. And I'm not above applying a little force if it needs to be applied, but, you know, most of the time it's getting things aligned. I remember I had a sledgehammer one time. I was driving a steel pin in this thing, and I mean, I was hitting it for all I was worth. I was in my early 20s. I could hit it hard. I was hitting it hard. It wouldn't do anything. Guy came by. He had a tool on his belt. He pulled it out. He shoved it in there. And I mean, it was long, and it was tapered, and he shoved it in there, and he moved it around a little bit and lined up those holes. And he goes, now, he said, just tap it in there. And so I tapped it in there, and I said, that's pretty neat. What is that? He said, it's called an alignment tool, son. He said, if you get those holes lined up right, he said, it'll go in there a lot easier. And I want to tell you something. That's the way it is a lot of times. We want to use the force. But we're going to have to learn, and the reason is because it's easier to use force. Well, it doesn't, I mean, you know, you don't have to deal with people if you kill all of them. I mean, you know, you're going to hell, and we'll see y'all, and, you know. And then, I mean, the only problem is you don't wind up with anybody, just you and your family. And then you're at odds with one another, too. And that's the only bad thing about it is that, you know, and so what I'm trying to say is that we need to take the remedy to people, and it has to be applied in different ways. I think about a friend of mine. His name was Robin Williams, and he's a nurse, and he was telling me when they went down after Hurricane Katrina and all that, and what they were doing, and he told me the money that they were making and everything, and I said, man, there's nobody worth that kind of money. He said, if I was saving your life, I'd be worth it. I said, you got a point there, brother. But he told me what they did. He said, for 24 hours, he said, we went in there, and he said, they had what they called lockdown mode. And he said, for 24 hours, he said, all we did was sit there and save lives. You know, it'd be nice if the church could go into lockdown mode and realize that we're in a hazardous situation. It's worse than Hurricane Katrina. I mean, Hurricane Katrina was bad on the land and on physical, but I'm talking about spiritual. There's a disease in the land, amen, and, you know, it's only going to be cured, amen, in people's lives by giving them the great physician. He said, well, I'm afraid I'm going to get wounded. Everybody that attempts to heal the wounds of others will no doubt be wounded in the process, but we need to keep on doctrine. It's the greatest profession in the world. It has eternal rewards. Amen. I want to just ask you a couple of questions before I close. Amen. One is, do we still believe that there is a hell? I mean, is there a place where people are burning right now? Is there a place where they plead for one drop of water to cool their tongue for their tormented in those flames? Is there a place where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched? Is there a place where he shall say to those on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels? I mean, is it true that the wicked shall be turned into hell and all nations that forget God? Is there a place where those go that are not found written in the book of life? Amen. Shall be cast into the lake of fire. Is the rich man still weeping and begging? Amen. Like he was in Luke chapter 16. Is it true that my unsaved friend who died while smoking a marijuana cigarette just a few days after I witnessed to him in a church parking lot? Amen. Is he there after all these years? Amen. Is it true that there's people within walking distance of this church who live without Christ and die without Christ, will spend eternity in hell? Is it true? Amen. Friend, if it isn't, we can all eat and drink, be merry and make money. But if it is true, amen, I want to tell you something. We need to get the soul winning organized. Amen. We need to help the missionaries. We need to get the buses rolling. Amen. We need to plead for God's power to set our preacher boys on fire. Amen. If it is true, we need to get back to that old fashioned, amen, Bible preaching and living. Amen. Do we still believe there's a hell? Amen. Do we still believe there's a heaven? Amen. I mean, is it true that in my Father's house are many mansions? Is it true that he's gone to prepare a place for us? Is it true that he will come again? Is it true that he will receive us unto himself, that where he is, there we may be also? Is it true to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord? Is it true that John saw that holy city coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband? Is it true when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun? I mean, is Jesus really the difference? Amen. Is he is the need of man, the old rugged cross? Was Paul's message to the Philippian jailer really right when he said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved? Did God really so love the world that he gave his only begotten son? Amen. If that's true, amen, then what else matters? I like working, brother. I really do. I've had a lot of jobs, different jobs, worked at different things. I like working. I like making a living, because when a man gets a paycheck, he can say, I made X amount of dollars this week. If a man fixes a flat tire and he shoves air in it and it holds air, he knows that he fixed it. Amen. Work is fulfilling in a lot of ways because we know what the results are. Why do you think Peter said, I'm going to go back fishing? Because he was good at fishing. He liked fishing. And when he got through, he could set them on the bank and count them. But preaching's different. You all leave out here tonight, and I won't know if I helped anybody or not. I hope I do. Amen. But preachers are like that. They don't know. Amen. But I can tell you this, that when we are standing before the Lord, one of the reasons why that I finally just set everything down and did what I felt like the Lord wanted me to do is because I thought ahead, and I thought, you know, when my kids walk by my casket, I don't want them to say, well, Dad was a good welder. Dad was a businessman. Dad was the, I hope that when I leave this world, my children can walk by my casket and say, my daddy was a man of God. And you know, I'm not against working. I'm telling you, I still work. Praise the Lord. I know I preach, you know. Well, brother, how many times do you speak a week? 13. I got 10 hour and 15 minute classes at school, and I preach 3 times a week at Pittsburgh. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I do other things, and I work. I like being busy. I like working. But, friend, there's only one thing that's going to make the difference when you get ready to check out of here. Amen. And that's whatever we've done for the Lord. That's the only thing that's not going to burn up. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, nothing else matters, friend, tonight. Amen. Oh, the great physician. Amen. Sister, if you'd help me, I'm getting ready to close. It could be that the great physician is walking down the aisles of this church tonight. Amen. With the remedy for every ailment of the soul. Amen. He's the cure for the curse. He's the remedy for the ruin. Amen. Jesus, the great physician, he went to the glory world to present his precious blood as the antidote for the serpent's bite. Amen. After he presented that blood, he came back and he breathed that celestial air on those disciples and he said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Amen. Those men received their doctor's degree from the great physician. That's the purpose I'd like to see of this message tonight, that you'd say, Lord, I want to be a physician of the soul. Amen. You can receive a doctor's degree right here in this service. Amen. I've had people say, do you have a master's degree? Yes, I do. I got it from the master. Do you have a doctor's degree? Yes, I do. I got it from the great physician. Praise the Lord. You can leave here tonight with a doctor's degree. Amen. If we could have the Lord to breathe some of that celestial air on us and say, you receive ye the Holy Ghost. Amen. Would you stand with me here tonight? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Wouldn't you like to be a physician of the soul? People get excited about a lot of things. I mean, they always say in business, you do somebody right, they'll tell 2 people. You do somebody wrong, they'll tell 5. Have you tasted and seen that the Lord is good? What have you been telling other people about that you like? I mean, I have no hesitation. Somebody say, hey, do you know a good plumber? I say, yeah, sure do. I got his name and number here. You want me to send it to you? You know a good guy that does some excavation? Sure do, right here. I mean, I don't mind telling him. Who are you getting for that? I tell you, I know a good guy. What about the remedy for the soul? What about those that are standing in need? Amen. I'm just saying we need to brag on Jesus. Amen. People in Kentucky don't mind telling people how about the Wildcats. And I'm going to tell you, I was pulling for them. I'd like to see them win 40-0. But the question is, we love Jesus as much as we do other things. I mean, we need to give him the remedy, friend. And we have it. And the Lord wants us to take it and use it. Amen. Bring people into the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.